From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays. A weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, director of St. Mark's. Welcome.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning with verse 21. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Here ends the reading.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. In the right direction. We have an amazing set of stories for you tonight. And for those of you who have done some of your Bible study, we'll remember that the Gospel of Matthew is a gospel that was written to evangelize towards Jewish people. And not so much Greek-speaking people, but mostly Jewish folks. And we have today a story, a very famous story from Exodus, where Moses finds this burning bush. And you're always humored by the nuances, I think, of our Bible and the stories in them, because sometimes they're just kind of silly. Like, he's so nonplussed by this fire, this burning bush. Oh, look, there's something there. I should go see what that is. I mean, you know, I'd be like, what on earth? Let's go over. But he's like, oh, yeah, look, there's a thing. I'll go check that out. And it's interesting to me because in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel writers go to great pains to remind us, you and me, of stories of where Jesus looks like the new Moses. In the feeding of the 5,000, he's outside, he's in this wilderness area, and he feeds all these people. Moses does the same thing when they're out traveling. Moses feeds people in the wilderness. The giving of the Beatitude, the Sermon on the Mount, the giving of how to be a Christian sort of thing is a Sermon on the Mount, much like Moses coming down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments to, this is what it means to be God's people, and here they both are. These stories. There's a group of people, anonymous to all of us, who put together the Revised Common Lectionary, which is what we use to bring the stories to you each week. There's a bunch of us using them out there in Christendom. And so it's no wonder that they took this story of this particular Exodus story and kind of put it next to or with this particular gospel story. So here they both are. So let's take them out for a second and look at them. One of the things that I like in particular about the story of Moses is God telling us who God is. I am who I am. And I was in a conversation with a person, and he said to me, he goes, you know, it's kind of an interesting mistranslation, I am who I am, that we've been using for so long, because it really is I was, I am, and I will be. So God's name is eternal. I was the God, I am the God, I will be the God, I'm Yahweh. And I think that's important. I think that's an important piece to it, because we have this God who now acts in our history, does things, leads the people out of bondage. And that symbol is important for us as Christian people, who we say Jesus saves us from sin and death, from the bondage of sin and death, to be exact. So here we have this. Now we have this Jesus and this story. If you remember last week, Jesus is in Caesarea Philippi, and Peter is very capable of telling you who Jesus is. You are the Son of Man. Well done. And in this story, Jesus says, well, this is what has to happen to the Son of Man. He has to go through all this and be killed. And Peter says, no way. Don't do that. And Jesus and Peter strongly rebuke each other, to which we get a wonderful phrase, get behind me, Satan. You are keeping your mind on human things and not on divine things. You are a stumbling block. Because if you want to be my disciple, This is the way it works. If you want to save your life, you'll have to lose it. You have to lose your lives. You have to let go. You have to let go like I'm going to let go. We all have to trust in this God. And so we have this story here, and we have this story here, and now we have a consummate problem throughout the history of our faith as Christians, which is this wrestling with each other about the kingdom of God. When is the kingdom of God? Is the kingdom of God now, right now, 2020, at the end of August, right before September? And I'll just add a commentary, an extremely uncomfortably hot time of the year. Oh my word. Oh my gosh. Everybody walking around outside looks like they've lost like 18 pounds of water weight from the humidity. So we have this kingdom of God now, and then we have this argument about the kingdom of God in the future. Is the kingdom of God now, or is the kingdom of God later? And as a good Episcopalian, both. It's both. Maybe, maybe not. I haven't gotten to the kingdom of God later. I'll let you know when I go. Kingdom of God now work is the work that I have seen you in this room. I know everybody. And I've watched you do kingdom of God now work, which is going out to people who don't have, being with people who can't be, living next to people and holding them when they felt like they couldn't be held. That's kingdom of God now work. Bringing salvation, literally, by providing people with food. And I think there's this kingdom of God later part, which we all aspire to, which is this abundance of God, this God who is a banquet that provides everything, this God that is lavish, this God whose love is eternal, the kingdom of God then. And preparing for that, what do? Well, we act like the kingdom of God later. In the kingdom of God now, we behave as if we are at that banquet. We behave as if we are with those people and that God, and we have more than enough, and we can share. And so as this God who acts in history, who is, was, and is, and will be, acted again in Jesus and brought us, not just these people, but all people, into covenant with God, into this kingdom of God, as we live into that, I'm grateful. I'm just grateful for this place, people who keep it going, for you all, for the way that you all are good to me, the way that you inspire me to also be a better priest. So, as we move on into the humidity, which means that there's only 4 more weeks of it, that it will end in the first week of October at the Texas OU game, if there is that. As we move into the the humidity of God later, let's enjoy the kingdom of God now, and the fact that all of us are working as desperately and as hard as we can through this weird virus time to be the kingdom of God now, with our eyes on the kingdom of God later. Amen. Thank you.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.